about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
And psychologically, this is one of these places where this concept of agency that we've talked about so much actually cuts in the opposite direction of what we normally talk about.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, moral injury.
One of the issues that's come up in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic is that a number of our healthcare professionals on the front lines have been put in positions in which they have to make literal life or death decisions having to do with who gets care allocated to them. Choices are being made not just on the basis of the progression of a particular disease, but on the availability of the resources to be able to care for patients. And that is an extraordinarily difficult decision that someone ends up having to make, because it means potentially withholding care from someone who under other circumstances might have been saved by that care because of the need to use those resources in another place. And this leads to, psychologically, the concept of moral injury, this idea that by making a decision that has a moral implication to it, that it creates potential psychological harm to someone who's done that and who has to do it repeatedly. And this is something we see as a concept. If you think, for example, about medical care in military situations, that, you know, we think about the concept of triage, where, you know, if a number of injured individuals have come in, there are decisions that are made about who gets care first. Some of the people who are getting care first are the ones most seriously injured, who they believe can be saved in that moment. And some are maybe so severely injured that working on them might not be the right use of resources. And so we find medical professionals now in a similar situation, and dealing with that can be extraordinarily difficult.
Yeah, and I think everyone in every walk of life from time to time faces decisions that are difficult to make. And fortunately for many of us, those decisions are not that consequential most of the time. But because, of course, most of us aren't making a decision about whether someone is going to have access to life-saving or life-preserving medical care, our ways of thinking about this, our emotional reactions to this, have had no preparation. It's not surprising then that people who are facing those decisions are really unprepared, through no fault of their own, but are emotionally unprepared for having to make decisions under those circumstances.
And psychologically, this is one of these places where this concept of agency that we've talked about so much actually cuts in the opposite direction of what we normally talk about. So usually when we talk about agency, again, is this notion of to what degree do I have control over the situation? And often when we've talked about agency in the past, we've talked about how good it is to have agency, because when you feel like you have agency and control over the situation, you're often less frustrated by the circumstances around you. But what's interesting is that we see a lot of people who are in the situation of having to make these kinds of decisions feeling a tremendous amount of guilt about making those decisions. And in part, that guilt stems from the idea that they have some agency that they could have done differently. This is a case where reframing the situation by recognizing how little agency you actually have is actually important in protecting yourself from profound feelings of guilt.
One of the things that just exacerbates any feelings of moral injury that come about as a result of this set of circumstances is the time pressure that people are under to make decisions, and the lack of opportunity to take time away in a calm moment and let your mind rest a little bit and then reflect thoughtfully about what really was possible and what wasn't possible. I mean, we've talked in many shows about how important sleep is to mental health. And when you combine high levels of stress life and death decision making with lack of adequate sleep, I mean, that is a recipe for mental ill health. And I think in our country, as we've said on other shows, we're famously bad at seeing mental health as equivalent in importance to physical health. And I think especially when healthcare workers are confronted with just amazing kinds of challenges under really adverse circumstances, in order to sustain their ability to serve and to work and to do things for other people that they got in that whole profession in the first place to do, there has to be time allotted for them to sort of think calmly, maybe even talk to professionals about the feelings that they're having and those kinds of things, recognizing that these are serious mental health challenges. This is not trivial at all.
And it's not just talking to professionals, it's also talking with each other. There is not, in many segments of the medical profession, a history of people talking about the emotional toll that the job is taking on them, and of normalizing discussion about how you're feeling about the work that you're doing. That's true under what we could think of as the best of circumstances. And the COVID-19 pandemic has not led to the best of circumstances, because many healthcare facilities have been overwhelmed and people are working long hours. And there's even less time to be able to reach out to the people around you and just say, how are you doing? Or, gosh, I'm feeling really terrible about the way we had to do this particular thing, in ways that might help you to normalize the reaction that you're having. Because the other thing about guilt is that often guilt leaves us in a position in which we don't want to talk to other people about it. And part of what people who are feeling guilty in a situation like this need to do is to express that, so that other people can say things like, you know, I'm feeling the same way. And collectively to begin to realize that everyone can't be at fault in this situation.
Next week, we'll talk about avoidance conflict with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is typically our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head in my closet in Austin, Texas.